Okay, is everybody back?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll first ask if there are any announcements. Well, I do want to remind everybody, we had the discussion last week, but I just want to remind everybody that we are trying to coordinate a set of climate literacy sessions for the American Geophysical Union, AGU, fall meeting in December. And the proposal deadline is in March, in April. And so within the next week, I want to start really organizing the sessions. So we have a Google Doc, and I put the link to that in the email, and I will post it at the top of the teleconference page. There, if you're interested in participating in being a convener, you can list your name, and then you can look at the session proposals, add your name to one of those proposals, or suggest one if you don't see it there. There is a possibility that given the various topics, we might combine some of these, but I want everybody to sort of get their ideas out there on the table first, and then we'll talk about coordinating those. The other deadline I want people to be aware of is that IIIS, American Association for the Advancement of Science, has their symposium proposal deadline in April also. And I would like to put together a proposal around the collective impact work and the clean network. And so if you're interested in working with me on that, you can email me. So I'll just leave that out there for now. I'll probably send an email out later about that. But that's the other deadline that's coming up. Are there other announcements? Okay, we have Aaron Tromley wanted to give a brief overview of the energy literacy videos that they have created and would like to make available and disseminate as widely as possible. This is sort of a last-minute insertion here. It wasn't posted until today, but if you go to the Clean Network teleconference page, which was also in the email reminder I sent out earlier today, the links are there for the various pieces. So, Aaron, I'll turn it over to you so that you can guide people to what you would like them to take a look at.
Great. Thanks, Tamara. Thanks for letting me join this afternoon. I love the listserv and the Clean Network. My name is Erin Twomley. I'm from Department of Energy. Some of you might know Joshua Snyderman, who's one of my colleagues here at Department of Energy and an Albert Einstein Fellow. This is a collaborative project that we've been working on with the American Geosciences Institute and the National Center for Science Education. It's been about a 9-month process, and we're excited to kind of finally have the outcomes and outputs. So there's a couple of different links that I want to make sure get shared with this group. And the first is what we're calling the Energy Literacy Quick Start Guide. So that's that second hyperlink. All of our efforts are focused around energy literacy, energy being kind of the nexus of climate change and understanding how we can address and move forward. So we started off with a quick start guide of the energy literacy framework that I think many of you are familiar with, similar to the climate literacy principles. And what we really wanted was basically a two-pager that we could give to educators and teachers to say, how do you start using energy literacy framework and video series if you are beyond, let's say, a science teacher? So our focus with these videos and this quick start guide is to start to get other teachers engaged, for like social studies teachers. So many of the lessons that I'll walk you through today are for social studies teachers. All this material is aligned to Common Core and Next Generation Science standards, so we're excited to be kind of promoting energy among these new standards. The quick start guide basically would give somebody who's new to energy or climate information on where to get started. Clean is mentioned as our top resource on where you can go to find climate and energy lessons and activities for a teacher. So if you're an educator or a nonprofit or a provider that says, I don't know how to get my educators or my teachers started or engaged with energy, this is a great quick start guide to help them start thinking about where to look for resources to teach about energy. So to supplement with that guide, if you go to the first link, which says Energy Literacy Video Series, and video is highlighted, you'll see the new videos, and they're available on YouTube. There are 8 new videos, so there are 7 that are aligned with the energy literacy principles, and the last one is actually an introduction to energy. So we really appreciate AGI and their effort, as well as Colin Mabley, who's a great moderator of all of these videos. And these videos are going to be available in Spanish. So you'll see the English ones up right now. They're on YouTube and on our site. And the Spanish ones should be rolled out by the end of this week as well. So this is really a way to get students and teachers engaged with energy and those 7 principles using a different approach. And we have a student and teacher guide that folks can use to go through those videos. So asking, kind of prompting questions, getting them thinking about the images used to represent things like energy consumption, the history of energy. So those videos are linked there. And then I think actually one of the most exciting pieces that at least we're excited about is if you click on social studies lessons, it's going to bring you to a sample lesson that is written to teach about energy using the Common Core framework for social studies focus indicators. And there are actually 7 different social studies lessons. So for each video, there's a different social studies lesson that's aligned to Common Core, different grade levels. So we have some that are more focused on high school, some that are more focused on middle school. And it kind of would help a teacher or an educator think about teaching energy through that social studies lens. So this is the first time, at least for Department of Energy, where we've worked with a partner so explicitly to bring in energy in another subject or field. So we're really excited about those, and we'd appreciate also feedback. That's one of the things that we've been working with teachers on is feedback, is are these guides useful? And they're meant to be that. They're meant to be guides, so they're meant to expose different groups, programs, educators, teachers, to thinking about energy who might not be from the get-go. Again, this was a great collaborative effort, so just want to make sure that if you're excited about the video series or want to know more, those links are there. I will also share with the listserv another blurb to the series, and if you want to Facebook or tweet about it, we would love that. We just want to make sure that the video series gets out there and teachers and educators can think about accessing energy from different ways. So thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, let me know. I'm happy to answer them.
So Erin, this is Tamara. How have you had teachers actually use these already or not?
Yeah, so AGI, actually Ed Robeck is the one who's done some small focus groups, and we're kind of waiting to gather some of that information. And then next week we're going to present and share with some teachers and get a couple folks to use them and get their feedback. These were just released like this week, so they're pretty much brand new.
Hey, Erin, this is Minda from NCSC. First of all, so cool that these got posted.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this. I was just clicking around, and you had said that they're aligned with the standards. Are they also aligned with NGSS in addition
they
to
They are.
And, here we go. I was looking for the link, but I think I might have just found it.
Okay.
Is it just further down on the page? Is that...
Yes, the lessons are kind of further down. And if you have feedback like it's too hard to find, let us know, because we're kind of playing around with, you know, where and how should this get posted, because, you know, NCSE was a big part of this as well. So I'd love to talk with you about, you know, where or how to post it, with your website and that.
Yeah, definitely.
Info.
I think we're going to try to feature it this week as much as possible. But maybe you and I can have a conversation like later today or later this week, and we can chat a little bit more about it. I think it'd be super.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, Erin, I'm looking at, is the link to the NGSS part of this on the Quick Start Guide, or is it in the lesson plan itself?
So, for the most part, it's going to be in the Quick Start Guide. I think that we just linked to NGSS. We didn't go on the granular level of, you know, each one is linked to what property in NGSS.
I see. Okay.
And the reason why mainly is that the energy literacy framework, you know, was used to inform NGSS. So there's pretty much the alignment, and there is an alignment tool that you can download, and these videos pretty much follow that tool.
Okay, great.
Great, thanks
for
your time.
Are there any other questions about the energy literacy videos and framework? Okay, so are there any other announcements or any other things that people would like to discuss?
Are we going to move on to talk about AGU on this call?
We can do that. I was going to. I was also thinking we could talk a little bit about the AAAS. So,
great.
How about if I talk about that first? Because that's one. That's going to be one proposal, and then I would be welcome further discussion about AGU.
Great.
Okay. So let me just give some context for the AAAS symposium. That I would put together and would work with anybody who's interested in participating is that I'd like to identify other venues in which we can have this conversation about how to shape a collective impact effort with the broader communities, and we've been using opportunities of various conferences, meetings to do that. AAAS is a very interesting place to have a symposium because unlike meetings like AGU or GSA, which are very topically focused. You know, GSA is really very much geology focused. AGU is earth science focused, earth science in the broader sense. But AAAS covers all of the sciences. And one of the things that, as everybody I know on the phone realizes, is that climate change impacts society in so many different ways that it does have impacts on the broader fields, not just the other sciences, which are also represented at AAAS, but also the social sciences. And to some extent, there are sections that address the impact of science on science and engineering on society. So there are those kinds of interests at AAAS that we could draw into the conversation. And in addition, another advantage is next year's AAAS meeting is in Washington, D.C. So engaging the federal agencies will be a bit easier than usual. And so I was thinking that we could potentially put together a proposal that would span the disciplines and try to move forward on the collective impact conversation. So that's kind of where I've had some conversation with Frank Niepold, Frank, are you on the phone? I don't even know if he's on the phone or not. So I don't know if there's any questions or if people would like to talk about that a little bit or just think about it. Just let me know. Okay, so if there's no other comments about that, we can move on to the conversation about the AGU meeting. If you don't have the email that I sent out today, which had the link on it, if you go to the Clean Network teleconference page and scroll down to last week's teleconference, the link is there to the Google Doc, which has all of the names. We now have 14 people that have identified as being interested in being part of a convener on some of the sessions. And then just below that is the list of sessions that have been suggested so far and that people have added their names to that. So first I'll ask, are there any questions about how we're trying to coordinate this? Okay, so if not, then are there any suggestions? So I'll just, are people on the page, or should I read off the kind of topics that have been suggested thus far?
It looks to me like
I think it's on.
Okay. All right, so And also I have, just so people know, if they want to look, if you continue to scroll down past all of the suggestions for 2015, for reference, I've added what the sessions were we had in 2014, both the final set of sessions that actually ran and the sessions we proposed last year, which there were many more of those. And just so those, everybody on the phone realizes that we can submit session proposals. I really work hard to make them distinct so people can sort of see where the, if they're going to submit an abstract, it's clear. I mean, there's, you can't avoid all overlap, but that they kindly see the distinctions between the different sessions. But usually we don't really get all the sessions we propose don't get a critical mass of the number of papers they need to go as an oral session. And so we try to then think about which ones make the best combinations, and combined you can get an oral session. If you don't, you can either have a poster session, or you can distribute your papers among the other sessions depending on what their topics are. So that's why I put both kinds of sessions here. And so the first sessions and the ones suggested for 2015 are similar to the ones last year, sort of generically, in terms of there being a K-12 session and there being a higher ed session and an informal science education session and one that's focused around education research and evaluation, one on misconceptions and barriers, one on exploring the challenges of climate science literacy and lesson learned. That might be something along the lines of K-12. There's one on networks and partnerships, one on the culture of science, and there's one that's called Can the Soil Save Us, which might be more suited to being a science session. We'll have to see. And then thinking about bringing scientists and practitioners together, enabling effective collective impact. So there's possible union sessions here, too. So those are the sessions that have been, let's see, we have one on citizen science. I'm just going down here. These are ones that have added since I looked last. So that's the range of sessions we have now. Are there any questions about that, or would people like to add their names to these, or have, are there other ideas that you think should be added?
I just, this is Mitha, and I just made a comment, and I apologize for putting it in multiple places, but I was thinking that the number 5, number 6, number 8 were pretty similar, and if people were interested in combining them, I think that they could actually be like a really rich session that addresses, you know, the culture of science in addition to sort of misconceptions and barriers when that culture isn't really well understood.
Are anybody, is anybody else who has their name on one of these sessions? Is Mona Bell or Laura Tenenbaum on the call?
Well, Nick is here.
Oh, Nick, I'd like to see your name too.
Yep.
You're on number 6, right?
Correct.
So, Nick, what is your perspective? Do you think that these might be effectively combined, or do you really see them as too different?
Well, number 8 does seem like it could have its own life, but if there's a need to combine, I mean, I think 5 and 6 look like a more natural pairing to me, and 8 seems important in and of its own, but, you know, I think it depends on what else is going to come and go.
Well, the other thing to consider is and it would really depend on the title, but people have to be able to see where their paper fits. And I can tell you last year, we didn't get it. Culture of Science ended up being combined with another session because it didn't get a critical mass of papers. So it could be that if it could be richly combined with another one, we might get a better group of papers. So it got combined last year into a session, Culture of Science and Broader Impacts Done Well. So that's how it got combined last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just something to consider at this point as to, and I know that Mona is very interested in this kind of a session, so we need to have her as part of the conversation.
This is Minda again. One option would maybe to combine 5 and 6 for now, and then later on, if there isn't this sort of high number of people submitting abstracts, seeing if based on what's submitted, there's a natural kind of putting them together.
I think that's a great idea, Minda.
Okay.
I think that that way you have the opportunity to potentially cultivate culture of science papers. And if it doesn't work out, then we actually, by having the conversation, we have a good idea of how to combine.
So, Nick, would you feel comfortable combining 5 and 6?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
So why don't the two of you think about it and come up and just edit that into one?
Okay.
Okay.
I would like to ask a question here. I was thinking that it would be worthwhile having this session enabling collective impact as a union session. Are there suggestions of what I'm trying to think of is who would we have to be the speakers there to make that a compelling session? And this would be a session in which we wouldn't be having a discussion and breakout session, so this would be invited speakers only if we were to submit it as a union session.
Tamara, this is Scott. I'm wondering whether we could invite the original authors of that paper from Stanford to sort of set the tone and sort of their intentions around that.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I did reach out to them at one point, but they never responded. But I'm very willing to do that again.
Yeah. Well, obviously Stanford is close to them for San Francisco. To come up, and I think it would be interesting to have them engaged in the geoscience research and educator community.
The other group that we might contact is, I've already tried to reach out to give a call on a talk on this call is the REAMP group. I could try that again.
Yeah, we've been trying to get them on this call, haven't we?
Yes, we have. So this is just to give people context. This REAMP is a successful collective impact effort in the Midwest around energy. So it's much more focused than on a particular, both in terms of region and in topic than the Clean Network is. But it is a successful collective impact effort, and it would be really interesting to get them to participate.
That's certainly another invitation for this union proposal, is to have them involved. In other words, sort of, we kind of do collective impact for this session. We have a broad tent and try to bring as many folks in and find the common mission and all the other elements of collective. Yeah. Good.
Okay, are there any thoughts about any of the other sessions?
Tamara, historically, is 6 or 7 more realistic than 12 or 14 in terms of number of sessions?
Well, in terms of session proposals being accepted, given
right.
that I'm the one that accepts them. So just for context, until last year was the first year that I was actually education chair on the AGU's fall planning committee. And so in May, after the deadline, I will go in and I'll be the one that's accepting sessions. Now, that said, even before my time, sessions weren't necessarily turned down. I actually only turned down one last year, and it was totally, I mean, I won't go into the details of the reasons, but it was just really an off-the-wall kind of a session proposal. So this isn't the phase. So what I will really work with everybody to do is to make sure that the sessions are distinct from each other, both not and not just in content. It's not good enough to have, you can't just have an interesting title that doesn't actually say something about what kind of papers you want to have in the session, because people will only look at the title first. They'll then go to look at the session proposals, but if they're not distinct enough, like, for example, a K-12 session and a higher ed session have to have in the title someplace an indication that it's K-12 and an indication that it's higher ed. Because otherwise people won't see that distinction if you bury it in the 800 words. It's not even 800 words. I think it's an 800-character description. And then that said, the description also needs to be distinct. And I don't want to say invite. I mean, I don't want to say, it doesn't necessarily have to have a, I mean, a lot of them do have a sentence that says, we invite papers that, and then says what they invite papers. But you don't want it to be exclusive. So one example where we made a mistake a couple of years ago is we wanted a K-12 session, and people thought it would really be good if it addressed the next generation science standards. But what that excluded was any K-12 climate change education paper that didn't explicitly address the next generation science standards. So while in the description you might want to indicate that those papers that address the next generation science standards are welcome, you don't want to be exclusive either. So that's at this stage, as we sort of try to shape first the topics and then I work with the conveners to shape the proposals and the titles, you want them to be distinct. But if you have, we traditionally had on the order of 10. I don't know if having 15 might make it too diffuse. We've kind of been combining to maybe about somewhere between maybe about two-thirds of that number they've been combined. Now, another advantage we have is that because I'm working with all of you and I am the one that assigns the oral sessions, and I know that everybody, once the abstracts are in, are willing to combine and understand what the other sessions are so that they feel willing to combine, we will get a disproportionately larger number of oral sessions than most of the others will. So, so I think that was a long-winded answer to your question, Nick, is that I don't think it's critical, but we do have to make sure that the sessions are distinct but meaty enough to attract what we think are significant number of, I mean, more than one or two abstracts. I've seen sessions go before in which they only attract one or two abstracts. And we've not really had that. The lowest number of abstracts we've had a session attract is 6. And usually we get more than that for a single session. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I have sent this email out beyond just the Clean Network to the Tri-Agency Listserv and the NASA Esteem Listserv and DRK 12 Environmental Science Project Listserv. So we're sort of trying to attract a wider range of people. And just to give you an order of magnitude, we usually have on the order of 30 conveners. So we have 14 on the list now, but once we get a core group, we'll start thinking about other people that we might individually ask. So we're getting up to a critical mass at this point.
Great.
Okay, are there any other questions about AGU? Okay, no. Just for context, we usually are also submitting sessions to GSA. That happened about a month or so ago. We will have one session. We have one climate literacy session at GSA. It's just given the logistics of who goes to that, of how many people go to that meeting when they need to decide whether they're going to AGU or GSA, there are fewer. And so we ended up combining our two session proposals last year into one. So this year we've made it just one, in which it's both activities and education and education research and evaluation. So it covers the whole range for that meeting. And I'll be reminding people when abstracts are due, although I haven't actually gotten confirmation yet the session's been accepted, but I'm pretty confident that it will be. Okay, so are there any other questions or comments?
Tamara, this is Minda. I have a question. It's unrelated to AGU. I just know that Mark and I are going to be presenting next week, and
right.
I'd like to be able to do a PowerPoint, and I'm just wondering the logistics of the technology and so on in order for us to do that.
Okay, so what you do is you send the PowerPoint to Scott, and he'll post it, and then people will be able to download it.
Okay.
What you should do is add slide numbers to each of your slides so that somebody comes in late or is listening to the recording, they can figure out where you are. And you should, as you talk and you go to another slide, you should say the slide number.
Okay, great. And how soon in advance, Scott, do you feel like you need that?
The slides themselves, Scott, Monday usually is when we ask people to give us a slide.
I'll still need a title and file to any guys.
Yep. Yeah, we'll send that to you today.
That's super. I'll post it by the end of the day then.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And just, you know, even if you give us the slides on Monday and then you have changes on Tuesday morning, you can do that too. We can replace it easily enough.
Okay.
I don't encourage that, but...
What's that?
I missed what you said, Scott.
Oh, I just said I don't encourage changes at the last minute.
Okay.
Well, that's true. If people do download the slides, they'll have the wrong ones. And we did have we did have a presentation. The person didn't actually realize, and she gave me the slides, and I posted them. And then she, by herself, for the ones she was looking at, she reordered them. And then she was returning the slide numbers, and we weren't able to follow her.
Okay.
So that becomes hard. Yeah, so.
We'll be careful with that.
Don't do that. So she actually moved. Her talk was in sections, and she changed sections. So all of a sudden she was talking about slide 25, but it was slide 18 in the slides we had, you know, so it became a little difficult. So, yes, it's not good, but if it really is necessary, we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for calling in, and
great.
We will talk again next week.
All right.
Yep.
See you next week.
Mark.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, everyone.